And it was the first time where I actually not just got a trophy, but they actually gave me $100. It's kind of nice. And it was surreal. It was very surreal. We had our screening on, I think it was June 2nd, and then they're like, after the screening, we would like to give you an encore screening. And I'm like, it raised a couple eyebrows there. I'm like, okay, another screening. That's pretty cool. What does that mean? And the writer, Julia Cameron, was there. Our actress, Brianna White, was there. Our associate producer and also the comic book editor. We have a comic book tie-in, too. Eric Katz was there. So we're all, like, looking at each other and just raising our eyebrows, going, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And then we went to the awards ceremony, which was, I think, on a Saturday, and then the encore screening was on a Sunday, and that's when they announced the award, and we're like, whoa, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, Phoenix, our world premiere, treated us very well. And I just came back from Miami, and in Miami, we had the Florida Supercon, it's called. And I was there. The producer, Howard Nash, was there. Our lead actor, Michael Pugliese, was there. Robert Picardo was there. The poster artist, Joe Notovitz, was there. I'm trying to give shout-outs here.
Oh, go. That's all right. Go.
Everybody's names here. But, yeah, there was a lot of people that showed up to that event. And it was July 1st through 4th. Of course, the composer, Vasilis Melessis, I stayed with him and his wife, Maria. Of course, I have to mention him. But, yeah, they were there, and we got three screenings there. We had two panels, including one just on the film, and then one on the it was a music panel for Vasilis.
Okay.
And, yeah, it turned out we won another award there, which was the Best Director Award.
Wow.
So it's our second screening, and each of them, we won an award.
So,
and it's just been very surreal.
I was going to say, very surreal. But and when you came, I mean, you are just one of the nicest people I've ever met. I had a blast with you. Absolutely.
We
had a great time, right? But
great.
So you're very nice, and you're very you're humble. When you get these awards, what is that like for you?
I'm grateful. I'm just really grateful. And of course, when we met up, I was grateful to you. I was grateful to Rapicon. That's where we're going.
Right.
With your friend Alan Cartwright, who's voice actor in the film. And he's a great guy. You've been supportive. Alan's been supportive. I mean, Rapicon's been supportive. I mean, just go on and on. I'm just very grateful, that's all. I spent 2 years of my life making this film, and I wanted to make it as good as possible. So it feels, I don't know, maybe it's validation would be the way to put it, or maybe it's more like a sigh of relief because, I know my investors are... are watching me, right?
Well, sure,
I want the film to do good for them. It's also a sigh of relief because it helps when we win these awards to get a better distribution deal. So then, I'm like going, phew, my producer Howard Nash has an easier job on his hands. Trying to get distribution.
You're humble and you're grateful, but you've made a film that people also that want to see this genre. I find when I hear a lot about the background of a film or what's the film about, tell me a little bit, the science fiction or horror films, or most don't I hate to say this, I sound overly critical. I probably shouldn't go here, but the Avengers. I loved reading the comic book. not fond of the films. Just I liked the first Fantastic Four, the film a lot, and I think the second one, the last one, I thought was crap. Basically, I shouldn't say crap, but it just didn't do much for me. A lot of different, you know, that the things that would be at the Comic Cons or whatever. I may be one of the only people in America that's not excited about a lot of the films. I don't want to go into, you know, some of the other films. Yours, tell us what the film's about, because this is something, again, in so many of them, I was just talking about this with someone the other day. You know, when you watch, like, and you know I'm a lot older than you, but I'm sure you've seen the original Omen, you know, the fact that the idea of a child that could be a demonic child, if you will, or, oh my God, where head spins around, The Exorcist, thank you. The Exorcist, you know, when you think about, you know, possession, well, my God, and again, I'm not Catholic, I'm not Christian, but the Catholic Church says that possession can happen. So you've got millions of people around the world that obviously believe something like that could happen. But a lot of these, they're so bizarre and so weird that they're kind of too out there for me. Your occupants, tell us about the film, because this is something that I think is going to make everybody think, really? What? Tell us.
Well, first of all, you're not that much older than me.
Oh, yes, I am. I am, but that's all right. Go ahead. Yes, I am.
The film it deals with parallel universes, the multiverse theory, if you will. You know, that there could be an infinite number of buses. So a parallel Louis, a parallel Russ, but also parallel Louis 2, 3, 4, and you go on and on. So it's a film about Annie and Neil Curtis. They're a young couple. And she's a documentarian, and she sets up cameras all over her house so she can document their new clean living lifestyle, which is the raw vegan detox natto diet.
Natto.
Well, maybe not the natto far, but it's definitely a clean living kind of lifestyle. So it's like a reverse Super Size Me, if you've ever seen that Super Size Me film. You know, more they ate McDonald's for 30 days. Well, this time they're eating clean food for 30 days. And what happens is, like, a week into it, and it could be their diet, it could be something else, but they inadvertently capture a parallel version of themselves on the video feed. And not only is it a parallel version of themselves, but it's a darker version. You know, whereas they're very lively and colorful, the parallel version is very dark and brooding, and it shows in their color, the colors of their clothes. They wear like silver or black, you know, shows in their house, you know, like, the footage is tinted green. I mean, everything about it, it's a darker version. So what happens is they watch this couple, and they consult Dr. Alan Peterson of the Peterson Research Institute, who deals with this stuff. And he's like, just watch them. But over time, they're able to interact. And I don't want to get too much into it, but I would just say this. It's with very horrific results. So it's a science. It's a found footage film. Then it becomes science fiction. Then it becomes pure horror. That's what the film's about.
So, again, something like that, that most of us can imagine could, I don't want to say could happen, but again, people are online, people are, I mean, these are I dare say, Russ Emanuel, regular folks, right? I mean, not, this isn't somebody that's coming from, you know, they're like you and me, like you and I, or my wife and I, or, right, or Alan, or like, you know, any of the people out in the newsroom that I'm looking at now. I mean, these are people, you know, online, doing their thing, going about their life. I guess what I mean, I think, anybody can put yourself into it. If it's, again, I don't want to be critical of other films. If it's a space movie, or I don't know, someone digging down to the center of the earth, or I don't know, or werewolves or vampires or whatever might be. And again, I'm not criticizing those. A little more out there. This is like, oh my God, right, or wow, or pass the natto, or some. I mean, I don't know, right? What is there? Is right? I mean, that's...
Well, Well, I'll tell you, this film, and the reason I was very attracted to the script, and just FYI for the background, it was the producer, Howard Nash. He found Julia Camara's script. She's a member of the Writers Guild, so she's done some major films like Open Road, and she wrote this really fantastic script, and it takes place in one location, has two main actors, it's an incredible psychological piece. And what attracted me, and this was back in January, February of 2014, we shot the film September, October 2014, and you have this couple, right? And they're very loving and caring, and you know, they're very colorful. But then there's a parallel version of themselves, which is really them, but they had, I guess, a different life experience, and they turn out to be darker. And not only are they darker, but you have to ask yourself, and this is just an example, like, you yourself, Louis, are a great person, right?
Well,
I know you're a great person. But what if your
parallel? I'm glad you feel that way. Go ahead.
No, seriously. What if your parallel self was a psychopath?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
And that's the thing. Does that mean that you're a psychopath? Or let's say your spouse. You know, she's lovely, right? But what if she's a psychopath?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Her parallel self. So it's like you start looking at your spouse, you know, saying, "What if?" Or you look at yourself and start doubting.
Yeah,
and that's what this film, that's what attracted me. It's a psychological horror film. It's very psychological, and I love those types of films.
Yeah, I guess, and when you say that, that's what I'm thinking, I guess, and maybe I didn't, you know, I'm not clear with it, but that's what I mean. I mean, this could be you, this could be me, this could be, you know, it's more, it's not without, it's within the realm of possibilities, I guess is what I want to say. It's not so, and I love far out stuff, but it's not that far out or far fetched for something to, for you to, when, you know, you walk by the mirror, you look online, you see yourself, it's like, oh, you know, is that me or is that my alter ego or whatever? And I just think that's the beauty of it. Like you say, what if it was, you know, I guess myself, you know, what if I saw that and oh my God, I'm not being kind to animals or eating meat or doing things that, right? Is that right, Russ? That not,
yeah, no,
not,
that's right.
not what
love,
I would think is Louis like.
Animals.
Right?
You love eating animals. You love wearing their skin.
Yes.
Just like Mr. Burns in The Simpsons.
Yes, yes, like Mr. Burns in The Simpsons. No, but you're right. No, I agree, and I think that's what the
I think that's why the film has been doing well, because it truly makes you think and ponder, you know, what if I had taken a different life path. It's Brianna White. She was interviewed, and we were interviewed too at the Phoenix Comic Con by great people called TG Geeks, Ben Ragington and Keith Lane. And she said this, and this was a live broadcast there. She's like, the way I looked at my character, she said, is what if, you know, the stars, they aligned perfectly for Annie Curtis, but for her parallel self, it just was just a little bit outside of her grasp, you know? So it was just slightly askew. And I kind of like that because... Yeah, don't you have moments in your life where you're like, wow, the stars just aligned for me today?
Yeah, yeah, well.
You know, everything just went well today. But then another day you're like, oh, God, I missed that green light just by a smidge.
Yeah.
And it just threw my whole schedule off.
Yeah, yeah, no.
No, I
agree. The latter is more more mine. But you're right. And again, this is something that I think, you know, and people want to see. So when you go to this, tell me. And again, I have never. I've read about them. I've talked with you about that. I read news articles about it. I know these Comic Cons. You've got people that are. Do I want to say, Russ Emanuel? Do I want to say more open minded? More. You know, that are looking for something unusual or what? What are they like?
Well, you know, you go to these Comic Cons, and, you know, these are people who like to, a lot of them like to dress up. It's called cosplaying. You know, they dress up as their favorite characters. A lot of it is maybe Star Trek themes. And Star Trek, as you know, is very science fiction, right? Mm-hmm. So anybody who watches a show like Star Trek, I think, tend to be more open to the possibilities of things like parallel universes, maybe, or a multiverse. You know, I think I would have to look at it that way. And, you know, it's not just people like that, but, you know, other people who are, you know, very supportive of the Occupants film. You know, for instance, at Florida, we had my friend Danny Templegod and Rob White, and they helped us out. There's another person, Jared Knowles. And, you know, I think they see the possibilities when they watch a film like Occupants, or, you know, when they see the website. You go to, as you mentioned, occupantsthemovie.com, and you can see the trailer. And just FYI, the trailer has gotten near 4,000 views, and it's like 112 likes versus one dislike. You know, it's like, I don't know. You know, I think, you know, we're getting people to think. And, you know, especially people at these Comic Cons. So, like, when I, and the reason I mentioned, like, Rob and Danny and Jared is they helped us. We had a booth there, a table, table A as an Apple 15. And basically what we were doing is we set up my laptop, and we kept playing the trailer over and over for anybody who wanted to stop by. And then they would be like going around and go, hi, do you like feature films? And people are like, either yes or no, right? If they say yes, they're like, well, you know, do you like Star Trek? And they're like, oh, yeah, I love Star Trek. And there are people dressed up in their Star Trek outfits, right? And they're like, oh, would you like to see a one-minute trailer of upcoming feature film starring Robert Picardo of Star Trek Voyager? Like, oh, yeah, sure. Okay, I can spend a minute, you know, like that. That's how, you know, people, figure out if people are open to it. And this is not everybody, just FYI, because, you know, cosplaying, they can be cosplaying as a Dragon Ball Z character, and I don't know if they'd be open to science fiction. But, you know, anybody dressed in a Star Wars outfit or a Star Trek outfit, or maybe robots, either, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. Those are the people that we think maybe they'd be open to at least seeing the trailer. And if they like the trailer, you know, what we do is we hand out business cards, or we say, here's our upcoming screenings, yeah, and stuff like that.
You know what it just made me think about when you said this? You were talking about the you know, the Comic Cons and things, and there was and I'm trying to remember the film, and I'm not a big fan of the major actor, but loved the film, and I'm trying to think, it was, God, they did like a Star Trek TV series, but the aliens actually came and recruited them. It's a comedy. Oh my God, I can't.
Oh,
think.
Galaxy Quest,
because they show the, yeah, did you like Galaxy Quest?
Well, you know what's funny, during a period when we were shooting the film, it's a shot where the actress interacts with her parallel self, and I don't want to go any more further than that.
Yeah.
But during that time, the actress Brianna had a transition to her parallel self, where she had brunette hair, so she had to dye her hair like three times. It took like 5 hours. During those 5 hours, there was not much we could do. So guess what we watched on my phone? Galaxy
really?
Quest.
Wow.
Wow. So, yeah, I love the movie.
Yeah.
Wow, that movie is so funny. It's just hilarious. I mean, the late Alan Rickman, rest in peace, he was so great at that role.
Oh, God, he was great. That's right. That's right. He was, yeah. But, I loved that film. I thought that film was great. And they show of course, they kind of ridicule some of the people at the Comic-Con, but it was great. I mean, but I see the people, because they show the people dressed up, right, Russ? They show all the people dressed up and coming and enjoy, you know, and having a blast. And I think, I think it's, how do I want to say, it's fun for people, you know, people, how do I want to say it? People that, people that are critical of things that they're not involved with, you know, nobody makes you go. So, you know, nobody makes you go. So don't go. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you this, Phoenix Comic Con, last year they had 75,000 people. This year they had over 100,000 people. And the temperatures were like 115 degrees. It was very hot. This is Phoenix, Arizona. And on a Friday, and this is not normal for them, it was kind of an aberration, and they apologized for it, but the lines were outside, and they were very long lines. And these are people dressed up in very heavy outfits, cosplaying in 115-degree weather. Florida SuperCon, it was very humid. It was like 65% humidity. It's about 90 degrees. On the Saturdays and Sundays, it was sold out. You know, I had to we got some badges, you know, being part of the SuperCon. We got filmmaker badges, right? Well, my friends like Rob White, Danny Templecott, or Jared Knowles, they could not have gotten in at all without the badges. As in, literally, they could not get tickets. It was sold out.
So,
it's popular, and people love it. And guess what? Galaxy Quest, that's like a Star Trek convention, right? Well, it's kind of like that. It really is. You know, I've been to a Star Trek convention with my friends Paul and Rebecca Hickman at Vegas, in Las Vegas. They have one every August. I was there last year. It's like that, you know, and I mean that in a very good way. It's incredibly fun. And I dressed up.
As?
Coincidentally, I had this outfit from 20 years ago when I made my Star Trek student film, I guess, when I was in high school. And guess what? It's the Doctor's outfit from Star Trek Voyager. And it's Robert Picardo's outfit. I mean, go figure. I did not know Robert Picardo at all, you know, back then. But there you go. I have his outfit. We went to another event with it, and the writer, I had another outfit, and I gave it to her, and she was dressed up, I think, in the engineering outfit from Voyager, B'Elanna Torres' character. So she was dressed as that. I was dressed as the Doctor, and well, not the Doctor, but, you know, his outfit. And it was at the Comic and Media Expo. This was way back in October 2015, before the film was done. So you could see photos of us if you go to our website or our, you know, go to our Facebook site, which, you know, we have a link through the official website at occupantsthemovie.com. You can see all these photos, and they're very fun. And anybody who likes the page, please like us.
Exactly. Like the page. It's Occupants the Movie. It's Facebook Occupants the Movie. Occupants the Movie. When you seeing the success of this, Russ, seeing how people like it, again, you putting your life into it, and what is it like when you have people? I can't imagine going to the Comic Cons and having people feel the way you do. I mean, again, I'm looking at your Facebook page. There's a picture of you on the panel. I mean, just, you know, the Super Geek Film Festival 2016 Best Director. I mean, Phoenix Comic Con Film Festival. What is that like for you?
You know, it goes way back to, I guess, my parents, Charles and Akemi Emanuel. They've been very supportive of me. You know, it helped me to really just, you know, get to where I am. So I even if they cannot come to all these events, I keep them with me in spirit, because they've been very supportive, and you don't know how appreciative I am. And when I'm up there, I mentioned this before, it's surreal. It's very surreal. It's just like, you know, I know other people would love to be in my position. I totally understand that. And I just, you know, I don't take it for granted, Louis. I really don't. I work my butt off. Shooting my first feature film, PJ, it was in the Christmas season. It was like a 17-day shoot. You know, it's my first feature film. I'm 29 years old. I'm just directing actors like Robert Picardo and John Hurt of Home Alone, Vincent Pastore. And guess which days I had off? Can you guess?
Tell me.
Christmas and New Year's.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm like, yeah, so I'm doing laundry on Christmas and New Year's. And my brother, Chris Emmanuel, and then his girlfriend, Kimmy, now his wife, and they have lovely family, Thomas and Olivia. I'm giving shout-outs here. But, you know, back then, she allowed me to stay at her place, and then she moved in with my brother Chris during the duration of the shoot. And it turns out they got married a couple months later. So maybe I was the matchmaker. I don't know. But what happened was they invited me to a New Year's party. And I went, right? And this was, we were shooting late into the evening on Christmas, on New Year's Eve. And Hallie Kate Eisenberg was on set that day. And, you know, she was like 15 at that time. And she really put up with us because, you know, the shoot got a little bit late, right? So anyway, the shoot ended around 7 or so. Then I, you know, got ready. And then we all went to this party, my brother, Kimmy, and myself. It was very posh. But guess what? 5 minutes after it turned New Year's, I fell asleep. because, you know, you're shooting a film. But look, the reason I mentioned that, how many people would love to shoot a feature film with these wonderful actors? You know, this is my wish was to direct a feature film before I was 30 years old. And I happened to be in the middle of my second one, Chasing the Green, when I turned 30. And I remember Howard, the producer, gave me a pineapple cake, and then the cast were there, and the crew, and the extras. And it was just so surreal. Everybody was saying happy birthday to me on a film shoot, and I turned 30. So it's like, you know, it's very surreal. I'm very grateful. I do not take anything for granted. I really don't. And I just, you know, with Occupants, and then the one I did before, The Legends of Messiah, I put my heart and soul into it.
You do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and then I just, you know, then I'm able, you know, you offer me to do interviews. There are other people like Kenneth Rotter of Dumbbells and Dragons. You know, he did an interview with me, but also an upcoming one on the 20th. They're going to debut that with Brianna White, our actress. I mean, you don't have to offer interviews to me or, you know, him to Brianna or, you know, the TG Geeks to, you know, our writer. You don't have to do this, but you do, you know, you do. And it's just, you know, I don't take it for granted. I'm just very incredibly grateful that you would do that. And I would put my heart and soul into this interview as I do into the film itself.
But you are, you know, that attitude of gratitude, if you will, and all I can think of. Can I tell you? No, seriously, and the attitude of gratitude, and I think, here, I'm exposing maybe more of myself than I should. I think it was from a SpongeBob. I think it's a little SpongeBob song, an attitude of gratitude. You know, I've got to say, some of my guilty pleasures, certain episodes of SpongeBob, Benicula, of the little vampire rabbit that sucks the juice out of vegetables, and Pickle and Peanut, another two that I watch. But I think there was this song, Attitude of Gratitude. But, you know, we hear about that, and I've had lots of authors, Russ Emanuel, Occupants of Movie, I've got to say that a number over the years of people that I talk about the importance of gratitude, of being grateful, and you're mentioning it. You exude that, you know, warmth. You are so personable. I mean, you and I just felt like right in. As soon as we started, I just felt, you know, and then we start. You know, people are emailing about the natto. We'll talk about that in a minute.
I think it's all about the natto, to be honest.
I do too. They don't realize that. That's because that's the link. That's how we bonded. We bonded over that. But seriously, now talk to me a little bit more, if you don't mind, about gratitude. Where do you think that comes from with you, Russ Emanuel, and why it's important to you?
Right. Well, I mentioned my parents. I definitely think they helped quite a lot. Charles and Nakimi. My brother, other brother, Kenneth. You know, wonderful brother. And you know, look, when you make a film, it's a collaboration. It's not my way or the highway. And you know, you work with all these people, right? And I don't take any of them for granted. You know, I mentioned quite a lot, but like our, you know, executive producers, Prem Singh and Aaron Redford, you know, they didn't have to be our executive producers. They didn't have to, you know, invest. But they did. They put their trust in us, you know. And I don't take that trust for granted. I want to please them. I want them to be happy, right? I just had like very good support. Timothy Lee Conley, Chris Winters. I'm just naming people. These are people that really have been, you know, very helpful. You know, in bringing this. film to fruition. You know, we had a great crew. Emil Harris is my director of photography and editor. I've worked with them since my first short film in 2002 called Her Night. And, you know, without him, I don't think this film would be what it is. You know, we had a production designer, Tatiana Kolonov, key costumer, Nina Minnelli, key makeup artist, Alicia Bajonas, script supervisor, Alexandra Sanders. This is like dealing with continuity. Our first assistant director, and the guy is great, Clifford Brakefield. I don't know if you know what a first AD does, but he deals with scheduling. And without his scheduling, the 10-day shoot, I don't think would have been efficient, and we would not have gotten the shots. So, you know, I mean, these are people that they have certain jobs, and they need that's their specialties, right?
Do you
and
go ahead?
You just, you know, without them, it would not have happened. You know, so yeah.
But again, gratitude. But again, you think a lot of it from your mom and dad, right?
Oh, I hope so.
I mean, is that what you think? Is that how you feel? That it's,
yeah, that's how I feel.
Wow, that's beautiful. People are emailing. I'm watching emails, and they're asking, you know, what's the natto thing, And you were on with me. The best, yeah. What are we talking about? Spelling it different, or yeah? Somebody spelled it T O E, not like natto, like something with your foot. I don't know. And I don't remember. I think it's because, was it because of your ethnicity? I mean, I don't even remember where how it started. And then I told you about an experience I had at a restaurant.
I know, because I know you're healthy eating. So I mentioned natto, because I mentioned I'm half Japanese, and right, how I ate that. It's my mother, by the way. She's the one who, you know, basically she likes natto. And, you know,
and dad doesn't,
gave it to
right?
us children, and we liked it. But it's a very acquired taste. It's a Japanese food. It's fermented soybeans, and it could be very sticky and kind of stinky.
Yeah. It's got an aroma that might not be, God, what do I want to say? Might not be for everybody, you know, because, and I.
Oh, it's definitely not for everybody. My father, Charles, he would not eat it.
Yeah, my wife Bunny won't eat it. And I will tell you what's was interesting is, and I think I told you the experience when I first saw it, and this was, I think it was outside of Akron, Cuyahoga Falls, restaurant, and they had, I was looking for, you know, some norimaki, some, the rolled, the rice with the
nori.
Yeah, nori, the seaweed around it that I love, and would always get them with, you know, avocado or cucumber or whatever. And I saw the one, and I asked, and I remember the waitress said, "That's not for you, not for you." And and when she said that, and I when I found out what it was made from, then I really wanted to try it. I wanted, what is not for me? You know, as long as it's not, you know, as long as it's vegan, I want to try it. I want to expand my horizons. I love to eat it. Yeah. And it was, and, you know, for my wife, again, not for her. It might have been my girlfriend at the time. For me, it was like, wow, it's really interesting. And since then, again, and tempeh, fermented soybean, and just, I loved the whole fermentation thing. And we really bonded over that, the natto or natto. And since then, that's been like a running joke.
And by the way, I've been eating more natto since we talked the first time.
Yeah, and easy, because you're in Southern California, so the availability of it is much greater than the availability is of it for me. But,
well, not only that, every time I eat it, I think about you now.
See, and I love that. I'm serious. We bonded over natto. I mean, it's just, it's I love it. It's bizarre, but it's great. So, right?
Yeah,
I love it. So let's. I want to talk. If you can stay with me a little bit more, I want to talk a little bit. I want to talk more about the film. You know what? I've got to take a quick break. So, bear with me for just a minute or two. Can you?
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, definitely. There's upcoming events, and I want to talk about that.
I definitely want to talk about that. So we will do that in just a couple of minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Louis B. Free Radio Show, Brain Food from the Heartland. I'm having a wonderful discussion with my I guess I've got to say, my Natto brother, right?
Natto brothers.
We are Natto brothers, bonded over the Natto. And I just don't think people... Let's see. How do I want to say it? Should we tell people to race out and try it? I don't know.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. I mean, really, it's great with, you have to get Japanese rice. You can have it with soy sauce. You could have it with chopped, what's it called, green onions.
Yeah, it's very delicious. Yeah.
It's very good.
I love it.
You love it.
You know I love it. Yeah, I love it. And it's again, my understanding is it's really, really good for you because, again,
it's very good.
That fermentation process. I had a woman on that wrote a book from the UK on fermented foods. And, again, and other guests of mine that have talked about the fermentation process, Clean Food author has been on with me numerous times, talks about the importance of it. And we're always talking about the probiotics. Well, this is a very, very natural way to get a lot of probiotics. I feel like I'm doing an ad for Natto now. All right, let's take that break.
That's funny. I was going to say that, by the way. It's like product placement for Natto.
It is a public service announcement for Natto. I'll be right back with Russ Emanuel. Again, folks, the website is occupantsthemovie.com. occupantsthemovie.com. We should talk about Peterson Research Institute and stuff. We'll talk about coming events in just a minute with Russ Emanuel.
Thank you.
Hold on.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Can you give me any coffee? Hello?
Russ, hold on.
Yeah, sure.
Hot day. Imagine being trapped in a parked car. The temperature inside is rising. Now imagine that you're wearing a fur coat. Leaving your dog in a hot car is not only uncomfortable, it's dangerous. If it's too hot for you, it's far worse for him because, unlike us, he can't perspire to cool down, and within minutes, the temperature, even with the windows down a little, can exceed 100 degrees. So on warm days, please be kind. Leave your dog safely at home.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
Hi, I'm George Brett for PETA. Summer is here and family activities are in full swing. Make sure that your entire home team is protected from the heat. It takes only minutes for a dog to become dehydrated, sustain brain damage, and die of heat stroke while in a parked car, even in the shade with the windows cracked open. Cover your bases. If you know that you'll be out and about, leave your dog at home, indoors where it's safe. If it's too warm for us to sit in a parked car, then it's definitely too hot for Spot. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Louis B. Free Radio Show, Brain Food from the Heartland, an adult-oriented show intended for and only for a mature adult audience. Listener discretion is strongly advised. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm having the pleasure, the honor, the thrill of talking with my Natto brother, Russ Emanuel. We're talking about his film, OccupantsTheMovie.com. I've got lots of links up at LouisFreeShow.com and at Vindy.com. OccupantsTheMovie.com. That's OccupantsTheMovie.com. What's coming? Tell us what's coming up, Russ.
Well, we could be Natto Brother from Another Mother.
Natto Brother from Another Mother. I love it. My Natto Brother from Another Mother. Oh, my God, that's great. We're just going, you and I are going, we're gone, aren't we?
We're gone. We can just talk for the next 40 minutes about Natto.
Natto. My Natto Brother from Another Mother. I love that. I love that.
I think that rhymes. But, okay.
No, that's great. That's great. So, my Natto Brother from Another Mother. Russ Emanuel, go ahead.
Thank you again for having me on. And
I love it. What's coming?
What's
coming, though? Tell us what's next for the film.
Well, here's what's coming up. Actually, our next event is this Sunday at the Shore Leave 38, it's called. 38 stands for the 38th year, and it's a Star Trek convention in Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm going to have my reps, Pat and Lisa Spanagel and Lakita Edwards. They're going to rep the film. And I have to give a shout-out to them, by the way, because it's Pat and Lisa's birthday today.
What?
So I'm going to say, happy Natto birthday. And it's their daughter Grace's birthday on Saturday. So, again, happy Natto birthday.
Happy Natto birthdays. Yeah, we'll fill you with Natto.
Yeah. They got to try Natto. It's delicious.
They've got
and
to.
They're great. They're great people. Pat, Lisa, and Lakita. I met them at the Farpoint Convention. It's run by Zan Rosen. It's one of our first events where, you know, we screened Occupants. I met them there. I also met Mark D. Lee there. He's a great guy. Was interviewed with him on another show called Jeff Trek by Jeffrey Ferguson. And we happened to be at the same event. So, you know, he's been an incredible guy, and he helped me out I'm spacing out.
That's
here.
Okay. That's all right. That's
at
all right.
The other Star Trek convention, Farpoint. That's
okay.
It. So this is Farpoint, the Star Trek convention, and so is this one coming up, Shore Leave. And Shore Leave, it's a guy, Tom Donnelly. He's very kind and gracious. He's the festival director there. And they gave us the prime slot for the closing program of the convention at 5 p.m. on Sunday, which is Eastern Standard Time. And he gave us also a panel from 4 to 4:50 p.m. In Salon B. For anybody who's going, Salon B, it's the media room. And you could see various clips of the film as in the behind the scenes. And Pat, Lisa, and Lakita are going to, you know, talk about it. And then at 5 o'clock, and this is very weird, Louis, but I felt bad that I could not be there. It just was not possible. So they were able to Skype me in, you know, a video chat. But it's not just a video chat on a laptop. They're going to put me on the big screen. So
well, that's
you're going to see
cool.
My giant head on a big screen.
Well, that's cool, though, right? My giant head on a big screen. You're going to see my giant
it's
head.
Weird.
You're going to see
very
my...
weird, but for 10 minutes, I'm going to introduce the film and say thank you to everybody and, you know, just, you know, maybe answer some questions for people who are there. And then they're going to start the movie at 5:10, and it's going to close the festival.
No, wait.
So,
okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, so that's our our, like, really near upcoming event, which is in a couple days. Then we have the San Diego Comic-Con Film Festival. It's actually called Comic-Con International Independent Film Festival. And if you know San Diego Comic-Con, it's like the granddaddy of Comic-Con. It was founded, I think, in 1970. And in fact, their name is just Comic-Con. Every other Comic-Con pretty much took their name. So they are the Comic-Con. And last year, 165,000 people showed up. And I don't know what it's going to be like this year. But we're screening on Saturday, July 23rd at 10:40 p.m., which is actually a really good time because there's no other events going on. So why not grab a drink or natto?
Grab some natto and a drink.
I mean, that's a great time just to relax and watch a film. And, you know, Howard Nash, the producer, will be there. Brianna White, the lead actress, Julia Camera, the writer, myself, Emil Harris, the DP editor, and Robert Picardo will be there too. And we'll do like a panel at the very beginning, and then we'll go into the film. And then right after that, on July 28th at 5 p.m., we will be screening at the San Antonio Film Festival, which is in San Antonio, Texas.
Wow.
And I'm going to be in San Diego, then I'm going to jet to San Antonio. It's a really good film festival. It's like one of the middle to high tiered festivals. You know, it's I think they accept like 130 films or so every year, and it's in its 22nd year. And it's an incredible festival, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm going to be staying with Chris and Alice McCauley, great friends of mine. And they allow me to, you know, to drive me around. So giving a shout out to them. At the same time, and you know this, Louis, we have a comic book tie-in that we're doing. Which is basically an original story that's tied into Occupants. And you have the major characters in the film become cameos in the comic book and vice versa. So that's being drawn by our artist, Dave Beatty, who is a DC Marvel Comics artist. He draws Batman and Superman. I mean, this guy is really, it's a professional. And we have our letterer, Al Sparrow. And again, it's being coordinated by Eric Kask, our editor for the comic book and associate producer for the film. So right now, I think 6 pages have been drawn fully, 6 out of 24. And the other pages are in various stages. And then we have people who have cameos. You know, people bought into it. We raised the money through Indiegogo.
Oh.
We raised 225%.
Oh, so, and they can go. So yeah. They'd get a cameo part in the film.
They have been. You go to our website, occupantsthemovie.com. I keep mentioning that. But,
yeah, no.
You know, our Facebook page or our Instagram page, you could see them. But we posted some of the cameos. My friend Eva Marie, we had her son, Andre, be drawn into it, right? And he played a quote-unquote evil boy. And I showed her the photo the other day. And she's like, oh my gosh, isn't that cool? And then it seems like her son really loved it, you know, and I like that reaction because, you know, I mean, that's what I want people to enjoy this, you know? And yeah, it's being drawn right now as we speak. We have 75 cameos in the comic book.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
That's happening. I, you know, we are aiming for a release party maybe September, October. In September, we have our next screening at the Action on Film International Film Festival, which is in Monrovia, California. So that's very local to me. That's maybe like 20 minutes away from me. And maybe we'll be done by then. But there's other events coming up, other Comic-Cons that I'm speaking to right now. So we'll see what happens. No.
So let me ask you that people that want to, boy, how people that can't get to them, people that are on no fly list, people that, I mean, how will people see the movie? When can they buy the movie? When can they buy a DVD or rent it down? Or how will that all work? What can you tell me?
Well, I'll tell you this. Talking about buying, going back to a comic book, you go to, again, occupantsthemovie.com, and there's a link for the comic book campaign. And you can actually buy a comic book if you want. Okay. The perks are still open. But if you want it, you can go and buy it. So that's just the comic book. As for the film itself, and we mentioned the awards, it helps the producer, Howard Nash, to get a better deal. And that's what we're working on right now with distribution. We've gotten some offers. Okay. So as to when people will be able to see it. And my other films, Louis, they are already on, like, you can go to Amazon or Netflix or Amazon Prime. and you can see these films, right? Well, this one, we're probably going to get a deal very similar to that. So I would say in a couple months.
Really? That soon?
Yeah.
That soon.
We have all the materials ready for our distributor, behind-the-scenes stuff. We have featurettes, like a 45-minute featurette of the making of. We have another one for post-production. I mean, we have it all. It's the material's there.
It's just a matter
well,
of...
Well, there's one thing. There's one thing that we still have to record, and I'm coordinating with our sound designer, the guy who did the really great sound work for Occupants, is Sean Fahimian. And we're going to record. It's called an audio commentary. An audio commentary is basically the filmmakers talking about the film as the film progresses, and it's like an option on a Blu-ray or a DVD. You can click at it to hear our voices as we talk about, you know, why we did that certain scene, or yeah. You know, we have a little anecdote about that, or whoa, look at that in joke. You know, you're talking about the Peterson Research Institute.
Yes.
You wanted to go there? Well, guess what? The name Peterson is an in joke. I had a Peterson in all my films since my short film Girl with Guns, which coincidentally also screened at the San Diego Comic Con 10 years ago. And that's the one that got me the first feature film with Howard, because he was impressed with Girl with Guns. Well, anyway, there was a Peterson name in there. This guy kept mentioning Peterson. I'm like, okay, this is kind of a funny name. You never see Peterson, but he always mentions this Peterson guy. So every single film since then, I put in Peterson. Including, of course, Dr. Alan Peterson of the Peterson Research Institute. So,
and so again, and people will see the film and they'll understand. Again, if they go to, all you got to do, folks, is go to, and I've got lots of links up, and I've got them on Facebook and Twitter also, OccupantsTheMovie.com, OccupantsTheMovie.com. I say even watch the trailer. I mean, it's just, and that's up at OccupantsTheMovie.com, also OccupantsTheMovie.com. And you'll know, the Peterson Research. I mean, I love what you did with that. And the fact that you had a card, I've got a card up on my wall behind me from the Peterson Research Institute. Which I think love that. It's very cool.
Hello, I'm documentary filmmaker Annie Curtis, and this is 30 Days of Clean Living. So I've set up cameras all over the house. They're going to be recording 24/7 and uploading all the footage to a remote access server.
Are we really going to be doing this?
Like it or not, it's happening.
We'll see how it goes.
Dig in.
Satisfying.
Absolutely.
It just switches over out of nowhere.
As unbelievable as it sounds, I think we just recorded an alternate reality. It alternates between filming our world and another parallel world.
There's a connection, a bond. It must be getting stronger.
Annie, what happened?
It was her. Okay. She was here.
What?
The other Annie.
Okay, let's see our first set of footage from the video feeds.
I love that music.
I love the music. I think the music, and that's and you can see it. I've got links up to the trailer also at LouisFreeShow.com. You can go to, go to the website, go to OccupantsTheMovie.com, OccupantsTheMovie.com. You can look at the trailer. There's all kinds of information there about it. Again, that draws me in. Again, I become a bit curmudgeonly, I guess I should say, Russ. I mean, I'm just not, I've got to want to be into something, and I just don't. It's like, oh yeah, let's go see that, or I want to see that, or I love this. And I'm not saying that because Alan brought you or turned me on to you, or that we got to meet, or that we're not so brothers. I mean, I would. Yeah. No, I shouldn't say that. Had we developed a relationship and you told me about the film, yeah, of course I'd want to see it because I feel we've become friends. And of course I want to see what you do. But the whole idea of the film, I love that, and I love that these people are just how you're portraying them, and I just think it's so cool. And again, I think once it's out, out for, what do you call it, general distribution or theater, where it's going to be huge. I just think people are going to love it. The timing couldn't be better.
No, I appreciate that, and we agree. I mean, this is, by the way, Star Trek's 50th anniversary, which, you know, we have a Star Trek actor in the film, and that's been helping us a lot, especially at these Comic-Cons. I mean, it was just perfect timing.
Now, I get what you're saying.
It was just great timing. I mean, again, the stars have aligned for us, and we're just incredibly grateful. I fear one of my parallel selves has but for, yeah, in our universe, yeah, it's just been going well. You mentioned the Peterson Research Institute. You want to see other people who have seen parallel universes, including one, which is Case 285, who's going to is the case that we focus on in the comic book. You could just go to PRI-research.info to see the Peterson Research Institute and what they've been doing.
And again, yeah, again, and go look at it. I just think it's, go to the website. You're gonna absolutely love this. And I just think people are going to go wild. And it's going to be tremendously successful. So let me say this, when it becomes tremendously successful, I know it's already, but I mean, when it's out in total distribution and people are watching it literally all over the world, you're still going to be my Natto brother from another mother, aren't you?
Of course.
Okay.
you're just being too kind here. I mean, it makes me kind of like
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I think it's very, very cool. I think the whole idea of it, again, I don't know how else to say that. I think, Russ Emanuel, that you really honor something. Again, it's great when you're nice, because so many people, I think, that do certain things, and maybe it's an artist thing that I don't understand because of the art thing, or maybe it's because some people that do these are very bright or very good with business. They just don't have that, again, I'll call it attitude or gratitude that you do, which I think is wonderful about you. In fact, let me see if I've got this. Stay with me for a second. I don't know if this audio is going to be, oh boy, I don't know, any good at all, but bear with me, Russ, just for a minute.
Okay.
Possibly be grateful for.
Hello, boys. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I got a whole new attitude. A lifetime subscription to gratitude. Friend, you've got to change your latitude. Live an attitude of gratitude. I'm grateful for the life I am living. Who knows how long I will have it. I'm thankful for all I've been given. We make appreciation a habit. There's no time like the present day. You have a present come your way.
All you have to do is grab it.
So now I think that you will see.
You'll see.
There's nothing more you need. This ain't no platitude. Just an attitude of gratitude. Or in your case, Squidward, an attitude of attitude.
Okay, so somewhere out there, I know that audio wasn't good, but the SpongeBob gratitude song, maybe somebody can help me find a better attitude of gratitude, but that's where I said that. I'd love to say that came from me, but SpongeBob attitude of gratitude. And I'm so grateful to have gotten to know you, Russ Emanuel. You're wonderful. My Natto brother from another mother. People can follow the information. They can follow you on Facebook, on Twitter, on all the other social media that I'm just not really good with. I'm not good with any of them. OccupantsTheMovie.com, OccupantsTheMovie.com. And again, it's got to feel really good to get the recognition. Correct, Russ?
No, it does. Don't get me wrong. It does feel very good. But it just wouldn't have happened without so many people. I would love to name everybody. I really would. Just has helped, you know, Betty Dravis or Jennifer Don or Brian Barsuglia, Alex DeLerma, without him, we wouldn't have been able to audition our actress. I mean, his cinema gem is the reason why we were able to get Brianna White, you know? I mean, he's a good friend of mine. I can go on, like Teresa Schwartz, Gakuto Takaida. He's the one who gave us our first ever event. And it's it was back Comic and Media Expo. He's the one who was running them, the one I was mentioning where we were dressed up in outfits.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it wasn't for him, no, we wouldn't have had our first event. You know, I mean, just so many great people. I just, you know, I don't know. I mean, we met this guy, Juan Artigas, at Florida, and he took still photography when Picardo was there, you know, and he just happened to be at this other booth. And it was, you know, he was a great guy, you know. Kurt Donath was the festival director of Florida SuperCon, great guy. Jacob O'Neill of Phoenix Comic Con, festival director. You know, I'm doing an upcoming film called The Dollhouse, a horror film, with producer Julie Del Losio. And you know, she's wonderful. And then I'm dealing with Felicia Mariana, and she's like she's basically helping to promote the film, The Dollhouse film. Russell Brannon and his daughter Shalay. Shalay was in the film. She played the lonely child. Our co-producer Jaron Smith, Kelly Lawrence. She ran Rapicon. And then she gave me a stipend. Do you know that, Louis? She gave me a stipend. She gave us free hotel. I've never had that treatment before.
Wow.
And it's incredible. You know, our UPM and actress Jennifer Durst is very funny. And Jennifer Durst, you could see her hand in the film and also on the poster art, the one by Joseph Notovitz, photo by Janine Berryman. Well, anyway, Jen's hand is, she played the hand double for Parallel Annie. And so her character's evil hands. I don't know if I could say this, but
you can say anything on my show.
This is for mature audiences, right?
Okay, wait a minute. Yes, hold on. The Louis B. Free Radio Show, Brain Food from the Heartland, is an adult-oriented show intended for and only for a mature adult audience. Listener discretion is strongly advised. In other words, folks, if you can't hang, please drop off. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we were like, when we did that scene with evil hands, and you'll know that when you watch the film. And in the trailer, you could see evil hands picking up the pail, this pail of paint, can of paint. And after she was done, and it was great, I said this to her. And, you know, again, I was very, you know, you're stressed when you're filming. I go, hey, Jen, nice hand job.
Oh. Oh, my God, that's great. Oh,
and
God.
Then everybody started laughing. I'm going, what?
Oh, God, that is
They're
great.
They're like, you know what you said? I'm like, what?
Do you know what you said?
and then I'm like, oh.
Oh, I love that, though. I love that. I love that. That is just great. That is great. You know what you just
no,
said.
No, but yeah, that's just an anecdote. I can go on. I mean, look, like with the testimonial videos, my friend Scott Brown. I mean, Scott Brown, he's a great actor, and he has a prominent presence in the film. He's great. Edward Alma was one of our production assistants, right? And he's the one who came up with evil hands. Anyway, he wants to be an actor, so we filmed him, and he was really good. So we put him in the film. Isaac Gracia, Larry Butler, Norie Onogi, my friend Cecile Calichan, who lives in France, and I met her like 10 years ago at a directing workshop by Judith Weston. I mean, she's been so supportive. I mentioned Janine. I mean, Janine, by the way, she's a vegan, Janine Berryman. And she's a vegan. I mean, she loves
I love her already. I'm sure she does. Listen, I'm sure she does. I love that.
No,
I love her.
She's
a vegan. It's like...
She's introduced me to a lot of vegan foods, and she's incredibly great. She takes great photos. You know, Jack Roth, another photographer, was incredible. Our visual effects supervisors, Manikandan Satyabalan and Mark Vincent Bonafe. Manikandan is out of Bangalore, India. And he and his team of Screen Arts VFX, and Mark is in the Philippines, and they did visual effects for us. And without their visual effects, you know, I'll mention there's a fire shot, which you can see in the trailer. Well, I'm telling you, it would not have turned out the way it did. We had an orchestra run by the $99 Orchestra, which Basilis found, by Andre Miranda. And you can hear the orchestra in the end credits. I mean, it's just, you know, we got that. Andrew Bliss is a fellow Trojan. He did the title and credits. And then my friend Jean-Paul Ouvrier, he helped with casting. I mean, these are people that, that I've been able to meet. Vance Major Owen, he is a Star Trek fan film producer. And I met him through a Jeffrey Ferguson of Jet Trek. And, you know, we've been friends ever since. And he's just a great guy. You know, and I want to, when I was in Ohio, I was able to see my friends Jeff Yannick and Johnny K. Wu. And I want to work with them on this new film, The Dollhouse.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, these are people I meet. I can go on and on. And, you know, I mean, without these people, yeah, I would not be where I am today. That's why I'm giving out all these shout outs, because these people have helped me in one form or another. And I want to give a shout out to my Natto brother from another mother, Louis B. Free.
I love you, bro.
So
you
are, final shout out.
You are wonderful. And you are so, seriously, I love your attitude of gratitude. But also, you are so creative. And I just, you know, and you're young, and who knows where it'll all go. But I hope I can stick around long enough to enjoy things as, you know, because I'm an old man, as things get
better. You are not.
Better. I am. But I eat natto, so I should be okay. But watching what you do.
And you're younger.
You know, your success is ours, because the more you do and share with the world, you know, because, again, we all need entertainment, and in addition to it being things being entertaining, it helps expand your mind. You think about things. You think, you know, you see more possibilities. And I just think you are amazing. You are absolutely, absolutely incredible. And you and I will stay. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, you mentioned expand your mind. Well, that's an exact quote from the film. Andy says at the beginning. So there you go.
You are amazing. Yeah, I appreciate
you. We are if not BFFs, we're NFFs. Natto friends forever.
Natto friends forever. We're Natto brothers from another mother. Yeah. Russ Emanuel, I love what you do. You're amazing. I love you, bro. We'll do it again soon. Please stay in touch, and let's get you back on. I want to continue to, you know, to follow what's going on with the movie. Again, the website is occupantsthemovie.com, occupantsthemovie.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, it is occupantsthemovie.com. Russ Emanuel, thank you, my Natto brother from another mother. Thanks, man.
Oh, thank you, Louis. Thank
we'll,
you so
we'll
much.
Do it again soon. Thank you.
Hello, I'm documentary filmmaker Annie Curtis, and this is 30 Days of Clean Living.
So I've set up cameras all over the house. They're going to be recording 24/7 and uploading all the footage to a remote access server.
Are we really going to be doing this?
Like it or not, it's happening.
We'll see how it goes.
Dig in.
Satisfying.
Absolutely.
It just switches over, out of nowhere.
As unbelievable as it sounds, I think we just recorded an alternate reality. It alternates between filming our world and another parallel world.
There's a connection, a bond. It must be getting stronger.
Annie, what happened?
It was her.
Okay.
She was here.
What?
The other Annie.
Okay, let's see our first set of footage from the video feeds.
OccupantsTheMovie.com.